Absolutely angelic. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, only God can do what He's done in our life. Amen. Aren't you glad to be saved this morning? I mean, think about the alternative. Sure glad to be saved, aren't you? You know what that means? I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to the lake of fire. I'm going to play tag with the angels some glorious day. Why is that? That's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the work of God, all these things. I came across the picture of Brother Edgar Gamble's in reference to his brother's passing. I came across it this week in my office. I got a chance to clean out a little bit of my office, you understand. And I came across the picture that said, Brother Gamble says, heaven is real. That was some of his last words before he had suffered so long. And some of his last words, this is my understanding now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that he woke up and he said, what am I doing here? He said, heaven is real. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. That right there gets you just a little bit excited. You know what I mean? So praise the Lord for it. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 3. The book of Ruth, chapter 3. Let me remind you while you're finding your place about our memory verses that we're memorizing as a church family. We are on week number 24, I believe this week is. And the memory verse for this week, these memory verses are available out on the Welcome Center where you can take them and memorize them. This week is 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, the Bible says. It says here, as in all churches of the saints. Now, you understand why I chose that whenever you hear what this message is about. Beginning this morning, not going to get through it. Anybody shocked about that? Not going to get through it. God willing, we may get through it tonight, or it may take us all the way through Wednesday night. I'm not sure. Ruth chapter 3. We've come to our Old Testament book again, and we've come to Ruth chapter number 3. I hope you're enjoying this book just like I am. What a book it is. All these books are wonderful books because they're all within the Word of God. But Ruth has a special touch upon it. Ruth chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, I'm preaching on the entire chapter, but for time's sake, I'm just going to read verse number 1. Ruth chapter 3, verse number 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Again, she said, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now those two words there that I want to draw your attention to are the two words, seek rest. And I want to begin a message this morning on seeking rest. Seeking rest. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us this day to be filled with your power and spirit. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. And I pray, Lord, that as I stand behind this sacred desk, that these precious people do not see or hear me, but that they see and hear you. Help us to be all you'd have us to be. Speak to our hearts. Somebody here today that does not know Jesus, may today be the glorious day where they accept you as their Savior. And we who are saved, I pray that you give us the peace that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we come to this third chapter in Ruth, we've seen how Boaz has shown grace to Ruth in not only allowing her to stay in his field that day, but also inviting her to remain in his field for the remainder of the harvest. He had her eat at his table while he reached her food from his own hand. This is all back in chapters 1 and 2. And had his servants drop her handfuls of purpose. Now Boaz was showing wonderful kindness to Ruth and Naomi in his actions. Now when Naomi heard the name of the man who had shown this kindness to them, she immediately knew that he was near of kin to them, and a glimmer of hope came shining through in the latter part of chapter 2. Now this is where we pick up this wonderful story in this book. In the opening part of the third chapter, we see Naomi asking Ruth this question. She said, shall I not seek rest for thee? Now this word rest is a word that means quietness. It means a settled spot. It means a home. In other words, Naomi is seeking a settled spot for Ruth. She's seeking a home for Ruth. She's seeking quietness in the life of Ruth. She wanted Ruth to find what her heart was searching for. She wanted Ruth to be married to Boaz. Now we understand that the word rest here in context, she's speaking of marriage. So I want to say this to you, that this kind of rest that Naomi is speaking about would provide Ruth status. It would provide her security and it would provide her substance from the hands of Boaz. And let me say this to you because it's important that you get this introduction so you understand where I'm going with this entire chapter. In a world of turmoil and strife, people are constantly looking for rest. They are constantly looking for a settled spot. They're constantly looking for quietness in their heart and in their soul. There are those who are not saved who have an unrest in their heart, while we who are saved find ourselves often in life seeking the inner rest and peace that comes only from God. In other words, just like we know here in context that Naomi is seeking marital rest for Ruth, I'm applying this to being spiritually married to Christ in salvation. And then also applying it to in everyday life, we need rest from God. There is a quietness and there is a settled spot and a home of rest that is available in this world that this world is searching for. It's found in being married to the blessed Son of God. Someone has said, thou, talking about God, has made us in thy likeness, and our souls are restless until they repose in thee. This rest found only in the Son of God will also provide status, just like it would with Ruth with Boaz, 1 Peter 2:9. It will provide security in 1 Peter 1:4 and 5, and it will provide substance in Colossians 2:3 and Philippians 4:19. Now it's this thought of seeking rest. So in other words, let me help you understand what I'm talking about. If you are not saved today, this chapter literally applies to your life. Because just like Ruth is seeking rest in being married to Boaz, the only rest you will find for your soul is when you seek rest in being married to Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom. However, if you are saved, which a majority of, if not everybody here is, how can you apply this chapter to your life seeking rest? I want you to apply it to your life in not in salvation, you've already found rest there. But there are situations and circumstances and trials every day of our lives, in different people's lives, where we as children of God have our souls entwined, if you will, and we need the rest that only God can give. Are you with me? So if you're not saved, I'm applying it to spiritual rest in salvation. If you are saved, I'm applying it to rest and peace in this life as you go through it on your way to heaven. Everybody with me? Amen or not? Because if you're not, I got to start all over again. Everybody with me now? You're with me, right? There's several things I want to talk to you about as we think about seeking rest, whether it be seeking it in salvation or seeking it in everyday life as a saint of God. Several things, I may only get to one of them. Number one, let's notice the preparation for this rest. Notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, let's just start back in verse number 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now notice the preparation, verse number 3. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known to the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Now in this verse right here, notice the first thing that Naomi tells Ruth to do in order to find the rest she needed was to prepare for this rest. She was to wash herself. She was to anoint herself with perfume, if you will, to make herself smell pretty. She was to put on the right kind of clothes, Just like back in this day, a widow would have apparently certain kinds of clothes. She was to put those clothes off of her, and she was to put on the right kind of clothes for an engagement, if you will. And then she was to go to where Boaz was. Now, in these things, we see her, get this now, folks, she was preparing for this rest that she was searching for. In her washing, she was to be clean when she approached Boaz for this rest. In her anointing, she was making herself appealing by her aroma, if you will. In her changing clothes, she was putting on the appropriate garments to show that she was seeking rest. And in these three things, get this now, she was to put off the old things and put on the new. Then she was to go to where Boaz was. Now this is due to the fact that according to the Mosaic system, Ruth must make the next move. In other words, Boaz has invited her to come. He's invited her to stay in his field. Now harvest is over. The next move is Ruth's move. She must move next. She must approach Boaz. Boaz was not to approach her. She was to approach Boaz. Now, this is the preparation for this rest. Now, how can we apply it to our life? How can we apply washing ourselves, anointing ourselves, changing our clothes, and going to Boaz to find rest? Is it not obvious? There's two ways that we're going to apply this now. One to sinners seeking salvation, one to saints seeking peace. So let's deal with sinners seeking rest. Do you understand that a sinner who is not saved, they can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Revelation 7:14, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." I'm simply trying to tell you that just like there was a preparation for rest, I'm telling you that what Ruth could do for herself, you cannot do for yourself. But when you go to God in with your sin, just like Ruth was washed, your sins will be washed by the blood of Christ. Number two, just like she not only was washed, but she was anointed. Do you understand that those who have been saved by Jesus Christ have also been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God? The Bible says in 1 John 2:20 and 27, "But ye have an unction." You know what that word unction means? It means an anointment, an anointing from the Holy One. "And ye know all things, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Here's what I'm saying to you. Just like whenever Ruth was approaching Boaz, she was to be smelling right with a pleasing aroma. We can only approach God when our aroma is pleasing in his sight. And it's only pleasing when you trust Christ as your Savior. And when you trust Him as your Savior, He washes your sin and He anoints you with the Holy Spirit of God. And God the Father, when he smells, when you come around, He's like, "Man, that smells good." You know what it is? He smells the Holy Spirit. Number three, she was to change her garments. This is all the preparation for this rest. She was to get out of the grave clothes, if you will, and put on new clothes. And you understand that you can have your garments changed from rags to righteousness. I mean, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. But, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Isaiah 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that just like there was a preparation in order for Ruth to find rest in Boaz, she had to wash herself, she had to be clean, she had to change her garments, and she had to anoint herself to where she had a pleasing aroma on her body. In the same way, when you approach Jesus Christ, what you cannot do, He does for you. He washes you in His blood. He anoints you with His Spirit. And he trades your rags and gives you His righteousness. Then there's a fourth thing here. She must come to where Boaz was. In other words, this rest in salvation. I'm talking about the rest where she would find in only being married to Boaz. That rest was only found when she approached Boaz. In other words, she couldn't approach somebody else for Boaz. She had to go to Boaz and she had to approach him. And I'm telling you today that the only way and the only place that you can find spiritual rest is with the heavenly Boaz. Only Jesus can save us from our sin. Only Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, "Come unto me," Jesus said, "all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." John 7, 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." In a world where people are trying to find this spiritual rest, I'm talking about the rest in your heart, that if you know something happened to you today, you know you're going to heaven, you don't think so, you don't hope so, you know so, that rest is only found with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why people are killing themselves, blowing themselves up, searching by taking their babies and throwing them to crocodiles, climbing up mountains and cutting themselves just so they bleed and the gods will have mercy upon them. The reason that they never find that rest is because it's only found in approaching Boaz. Boaz is the only person here where she could find that rest. And in the same way, spiritually speaking, in salvation, the only place to be saved is Jesus Christ. It's not in the baptistry. It's not in good works. It's not in church attendance. It's not in you doing everything you can do and trying to outweigh your good with your bad. It is only found in Jesus Christ. So we're applying these thoughts, the preparation for this rest. She had to wash herself. She had to be anointed. She had to change her garments. She had to go to Boaz. In the same way for salvation, when you go to Boaz, He will wash you white, cover you. I'm telling you, He'll anoint you with His Spirit and He'll change your rags into riches. But then there's a second way that we're applying these thoughts. And that because a majority of you, if not all of you, have already made that decision to go to Boaz. I'm talking about the heavenly Boaz, Jesus Christ, and He has washed you in His blood. He has changed your garments. He has anointed you. He's changed your life. But now as a child of God, how can we apply this thought to our life? Is it possible, and I may never get any further than this, because a lot of times I don't apply messages in more than one way, but I'm doing this message this way. I'm applying it to salvation and then as a saint, to the sinners, to the saints. How can this same thought of preparing for rest, how can that be applied to our life who are saved? How can we apply this? What difference does it make in our life? Now, don't you tell me that in a crowd this size, there's not somebody that needs rest. I'm talking about a child of God. I'm talking about somebody who needs peace, who needs comfort, who needs that quietness inside. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there's one and probably many who have come in here, and inside, even though outside there's no noise coming out, on the inside, it is screaming out, "Help! Tearing me to pieces! What am I going to do? How am I going to get peace? Will rest ever come?" And I'm telling you that this whole chapter deals with rest. Now, I'm only on the first point. I'm going to have six or seven of them, so wait on me. But this is the first point here. How can you apply this to your life if you're saved? If you're here today and you need rest. Oh, you're saved. You know you've had the spiritual rest. You've already gone to Boaz. He's already changed your life. But now you're going through something that you need peace. How do you get it? I'm telling you, you must prepare for it. You have to prepare. Do you understand that just what Ruth was to do in order to get peace to a saint, we're to do the same things? What can you do in order to get this peace? Now, this is not everything, but this is a good start. You know what you need to do? You need to be clean. Amen. Here's what I'm talking about. Here's what Naomi's saying. Hey, Ruth, you need to wash yourself before you go. Now, we understand that when we apply it to salvation, we have to go to be washed. You're with me, aren't you? Amen. Because you understand that Ruth is already a child of God here, folks. So you got to be careful that you separate the application from the interpretation here. The typology is salvation, but when you apply it, you don't wash yourself to be saved. You go to Boaz, and then he washes you and changes your garments and all these kind of things. But if you're seeking rest as a child of God, you're already saved, but there's something that you're seeking rest in, you better be clean. Is there something in your life that shouldn't be there? If there's something in your life that should not be there, and you're seeking peace for that, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. Because when you approach Boaz, you must be clean. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. James 4:7-8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hope I'm not confusing you, because God knows I don't want to confuse anybody in my preaching. That's the truth. I want to be simple. And I'm trying to be simple here by saying that when we're dealing with the main thought, we're applying it in two separate ways. We're applying it to salvation, and then we're applying it to saints who are saved but need peace in some given situation. With their marriage, with a health issue, with the death of a loved one. I mean, you're saved, but you're seeking this rest. We're talking about saints seeking this rest. And if you're going to write today, if you are in search for rest, peace, comfort, quietness, you're searching for it. How do you get it? I'm telling you, the first thing you do, make sure you're clean. Make sure you're clean. Just like Naomi said, Ruth, make sure you're clean before you go. Then before you go into God's presence, listen to me, folks, to request something, you have to go into His presence and ask Him to clean you up first. Is there anything in your life that needs to be cleaned? If there is, there's where you start. Second preparation is not only cleaning herself, but second preparation was for her to anoint herself, and that means this: you need to seek the Spirit filling in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. You know what the word filled means? It means to be controlled by. Dr. Tom Farrell puts it this way. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit becomes resident, but He wants you to make Him president. Do you understand the difference? You got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit that you're going to ever get, but does He have all of you? Oh, God, you can have that and you can have that, but I'm going to keep this for myself here. If you keep that for yourself, you'll never have the peace that only comes from God. You've got to prepare for this peace. If you want peace and you're seeking peace and you're seeking this rest, you've got to be clean. You've got to be anointed by the Spirit. Number three, you've got to abide by God's dress code. Be careful. Don't swallow anything here, you know, because you think I'm going to say something that might make you nervous. I said you got to abide by God's dress code. What is it? Has nothing to do with your clothing. Whew. Thank the Lord, right? I want to show you something here. How can you find rest? You find it the same way Ruth was to find it. You wash yourself. You anoint yourself. You change your clothes. Now, what's this mean? Well, hold your place here. Turn over to the book of Romans with me just a moment. The book of Romans. I'm going to show you God's dress code. Let me show you God's dress code here. Romans 13, 11. Hold your place in Ruth now because we're coming back to it. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hold your place there. Actually, you don't have to hold your place there. Okay, keep holding your place in Ruth, but flip over to the book of Colossians with me just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. A little bit further than Romans. Just keep flipping towards the end of your Bible there and go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. What is God's dress code? Does God expect us to change our clothes? Now, He changes them at salvation. He gives us His righteousness in place of our rags. But now when we're seeking rest as His child, we need peace, we need comfort, we need this quietness in our heart to help us get through that, you see. How do you get it? Well, you have to prepare for it. How do you prepare for it? Wash yourself, be clean. Anoint yourself, be spirit-filled. Change your garments, abide by God's dress standard. Look at Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which also ye walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also, here it is now, put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth communication, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, you can flip back to the book of Ruth. Let me explain what I'm saying to you here. What I'm saying to you here is that every day and every week of our life, we are searching for peace. Yes or no? Sure we are. As a non-believer, those people are searching for the spiritual rest that can only be found with Jesus Christ. When they come to Him, and not their baptism, not their good works, not their new leaf and all these, when they come to their heavenly Boaz, Jesus Christ, then He will wash them in His blood, He will anoint them with the Spirit, and He will change their rags into riches and give them a robe of righteousness. But now we who are saved, there are every day, every moment, every week, somebody who is saved is going through something that they need peace. They need rest. They need comfort. They need quietness. Is that you? Is there something that's going on in your life? Oh, you know you're saved. But is there something going on in your life and you know I'm seeking rest? How can I get it? I need it. How do I get rest? How do I get peace in this? How can I make it through it? And the first point I'm trying to teach you today, this morning, is you as a child of God must do the same thing Ruth had to do. You must be clean. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, get it out! Ask God to clean you up. Secondly, ask God to fill you up with His Spirit. And say, God, you can have complete control of my life. Whatever you want. I'm yours. Then number three, you put off the old garments and you put on the new. For instance, here's what I'm saying under this point right here. If somebody says, I need peace, I need rest, but you're bitter at somebody else, you'll never get that rest. That's the old garments. Somebody said, well, you don't understand what's happening. I'm mad. I'm mad at God. People do that, you know. You ever lost somebody, lost a loved one, or something's happened in your life, and all of a sudden you have a thought go through your mind, a thought God loved you? And before long, you start thinking, I thought, what's God doing? If you have that attitude, you'll never get peace. That's the old garments. By the way, how do you put off the old garments and put on the new? You listening to me? By being Spirit-filled, my friends. You can't do it yourself. And I'm simply trying to say that this rest, this peace, this quietness, this stillness in your soul, that, listen, it doesn't remove what's going on, but it just lets you sleep at night. Folks, it encourages you just to rest and trust in God. And you don't know how you're going to get through it, but you just know somehow God's going to do it. How do you get that? How does somebody who has cancer get peace in it? How does somebody who's lost a loved one, how do they get peace in it? How does somebody who has a physical condition get peace? How does somebody whose kid is hovering right there at the point of death, how do they get peace? How do you do it? You've got to be clean. You've got to be Spirit-filled. And you've got to allow the Spirit of God to put off the anger, put off the wrath, put off the bitterness, put off the doubts, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you must go to God. Just like Naomi said, wash yourself, anoint yourself, change your garments. It didn't stop there. She said, then you go to Boaz. Get to Boaz. He's the only one that can do this. And I'm announcing to you, as the pastor of this great church, I'm announcing to you today that I can't give you peace. You can't give you peace. Your wife can't do it. Your husband can't do it. Your children can't do it. Only God can give you that peace. And if you want it, make sure you're clean. Make sure you're Spirit-filled. Make sure that you're not making provision for the flesh, but you've got the Lord Jesus Christ on. And then go to His feet and say, God, I can't do this, but I know that You're the only one that can. And I promise you, if you are clean and Spirit-filled and abiding by God's dress code and go to God and confess to Him that He's the only one, I guarantee you somehow, some way, you'll find that quietness in your soul. Somehow, some way, you'll find that peace. Somehow, some way, you'll find that rest that you're seeking for. But only if you get it the way Ruth did. Now, this is point number one, and all of them are not this long. Oh, this would be a 7-week series or 6-week series. And I hope I've not confused you. I'm simply applying the preparation for this rest. Ruth was to prepare for it. She was to wash, anoint, and change her clothes. How do we apply it to non-believers? You don't do that before you go to Boaz. You go to Boaz first, and He does that for you, you see, those same three things. He'll wash you, He'll anoint you, He'll change your clothes. But if you are saved, you do that, just like Ruth did. You're on your way to Boaz, but as you're on your way, you're confessing your sin. Get that out of my life, God. I know that's not right. I confess it. Get it out. You're getting clean. And through the whole thing, you're begging God to fill you with His Spirit. Whatever you want, it's yours. And through that, you say, God, help me put off the anger. Help me put off the wrath. Help me put off and help me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh. And I don't know if the Lord is speaking to you or not, but I know this. I know that if you came in this auditorium today and you don't need peace, you may not be able to say the same thing next week. You don't know what's going to happen. But I know this. I know that there's a place of perfect peace and perfect rest. And it is found only with our heavenly Boaz. That's it. That's it. Seeking rest. Are you seeking it? Because if you are, we know where to tell you to go to get it. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray, our Father, that you help me not to confuse these dear people in this message. That we're applying it to saints who need peace in any given situation. We're also applying it to sinners who've never been saved, that they need this spiritual, eternal rest that only comes through salvation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. The first way that we apply this is to sinners who've never been saved. To those who are lost, there is an unrest deep inside. Oh, that unrest can seemingly be put out for a little while with that sin or that sin or that lifestyle or that decision. But a person who's not saved will always find themselves coming back to a place of unrest. No peace. No true resting place. Listening to me today are two types of people, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and those who have not. If you have, then the Lord has done for you what Ruth did before she went to Boaz. He has washed you in His blood. He's anointed you by His Spirit. He has changed your rags to righteousness. But if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, then that means that you're still dirty in His sight. You still stink in His sight. You still have your rags instead of His righteousness. Is there one today, say, Jody, I need that rest. I'm talking about salvation here now, folks. I need that rest. I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Or maybe you're doubting it. In your heart, you don't have peace that you know you're going to heaven someday. Hand me today, say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm saved. I'd like to know that I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I need this eternal rest. That when I put my head on my pillow tonight, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. You say, Jody, pray for me. I don't have that peace, but I want it. I want it. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Be an honest person. Anybody at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know I'm saved. Anybody at all? And I ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm saved. God knows as I sit here today that when you are applying the message to saints, those who are saved, there is currently something going on in my life. Maybe somebody knows about it, maybe nobody knows about it, but you say, Jody, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but there's something going on in my life that I am seeking rest. I'm seeking rest. I need it. I need peace. I need rest. I need this quietness. I need this settled spot. You say, Jody, I'm saved, but I'm seeking rest. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I'm saved, but I'm seeking rest. I'm saved, but I'm seeking rest. Yes, if that's you, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Just a moment. I'm going to invite every one of you to come to this altar. Talk to God about it. Say, Jody, what am I supposed to do? Well, make sure you're clean. Make sure there's nothing in your life that's hindering your prayers from getting answered. Come and ask God to fill you with His Spirit and give Him complete control of your life. And then ask Him to help you put off the thoughts that shouldn't be there. Ask Him to help you put off those things that ought not to be there. And to change your garments and put Him on. And live like a Christian ought to live. So I'm already doing those things, and just come and beg God that in His time, in His place, in His way, that He'll answer your prayer. Give you rest. But if you need to get something right, you come. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, help us. Help us to understand that this rest is what we're all searching for. And help those who need it to respond. May Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary is singing. If God is speaking to your heart, as He sings, would you leave your place and come? As He sings, come on.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit come? Can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
We're playing through softly. Folks have responded. I want to ask you a question if you're still standing. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed if you wouldn't mind. Have you say, Jody, I need this message. It could be that you've already found the rest, but you say, Jody, I just need to be reminded of it because you know what I'm talking about today. Let me be honest. Would you raise your hand? Yes. Good. Have you say, Jody, I'm in the middle of a crisis. I'm speaking to you even if you found that rest. You say, right now I'm going through something and the Lord knows all about it. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, right now I'm going through something. Yes. You got your hand raised. I'd like you to listen to me. Matter of fact, I'd like all of you to look at me if you wouldn't mind to do that. If you raise your hand a minute ago, I'm speaking to you. It makes no difference who we are. Every one of us are going to be put into situations to where we need this rest. And all I'm preaching to you today is this. If you're saved, praise God. Stay right with Him. Give Him full control of your life. Don't rebel against Him. If you start questioning, put it off. Put on something else. If you don't learn to do that, you'll never get rest. Anybody beginning to understand why the Lord says it's a life of faith, not of sight? Because what do we want as human beings? We want to see it so we can feel it and touch it and know it's going to be okay. Many times God doesn't work that way. You know how He works? It's like Naomi asked Ruth, shall I not seek rest for thee? The Lord Jesus speaks to our heart and says, I have rest. If you'll come to me, I'll give it to you. That's all this message is about. Tonight we're going to proceed with this same thought of seeking rest. Seeking rest. Where is it found? Where's the place of it? Where is it? We're going to share these many thoughts with you tonight. And I hope that you'll take this message. If you don't need it today, you better put it in your back pocket. Because you will need it. It's a matter of time. If you're visiting with us today, thank you for coming. God bless you. As you leave, I know we work at this. Let's keep working at it. As you leave, speak to somebody. If you see somebody you don't recognize, don't be embarrassed. Just go to them and say, hey, I don't recognize you. If you've been coming here for 30 years, forgive me, but just want to talk to you, speak to you, introduce myself. That'd be good. All right? Hope you'll be back tonight, 6:30, right in your place. I'm going to ask Brother Edgar Gamble, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lead us in prayer, please.